Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hi everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news this Thursday morning. We absolutely love Thursdays. We've got Ben Jacobs at 2 o'clock. We've got the live preview at 8 o'clock and the weekend basically starts here. So lots to get into this morning. Midfield dilemmas, midfield demands. We're talking Mainoo and Xerxes exits. New news coming in around them from Fabrizio Romano. Also, what does that mean for the January transfer window and why Amrim should be in a strong position? Is it actually becoming the point where maybe we should be letting these players go? Because if Xerxes goes, surely we'd get a backup striker. And if Mainoo left, surely we'd get a midfielder. And does that not make Manchester United stronger? I want to pose that question. Also, what would your dream midfield two be in the summer? Because we need to bring two in. I'm very much Stiller and Anderson. I'll explain why. What are your thoughts on that? We've also got a few tactical things coming in. Interesting stats around Mbeumo, etc., which feeds into this long ball theory that people are talking about in relation to Manchester United as well. And a few other bits I want to get into too this morning. Quite a busy morning this morning. Do not forget, 2 o'clock, we've got Ben Jacobs every Thursday at 2 with Beth. Love that show. And then the live preview for Forest tonight. I used to dislike Thursdays, Europa League football and all that shit. I love them now. I love these weeks of they're just flying by. They're just absolutely flying by. Positivity Street. Talking of which, sometimes we hit on a topic and I don't have all the answers. I want to make this very, very clear. We were talking about the brilliance of the flags in the Stretford End against Brighton at the weekend. And there was like a bit of, I wasn't totally clued up on who was responsible for that. I did mention the Red Army, but I didn't probably mention it in its entirety, the exclusivity of the, of the cause of all that is the Red Army. So 100%. So we should be shouting them out for that. I think it was for some people, it was a glimpse back to the 80s on what the terraces used to be like in football grounds. For some of us, it's what we see in some European leagues. The Premier League has become very stale. There's question marks about the officiating. There's question marks about the standard of the football. And there's question marks about the atmospheres in grounds, especially at, historical atmosphere grounds like Old Trafford and Anfield. And I think it's fantastic that we have a group called the Red Army who are desperately trying to make things better at Old Trafford. And you know what? I just don't understand why it can't get better and better, because reality is other leagues are doing it. What is it? Bloody political correctness, health and safety, prats. You know, we should have safe standing and we should have more flags and we should be able to let flares off and we should be able to create environments and atmospheres at our own ground that intimidate oppositions and make for moments that we all love to see and witness. So fair play to them for trying to bring an atmosphere back to Old Trafford. I know that there's actually talk of changing the music for Manchester United coming out as well. Some people feel that tune is out of date as well. So some great work being done there and full credit to the Red Army for that. Brilliant. I thought it was brilliant on Saturday. Absolutely brilliant. I think by the sounds of it, it's only going to be the start. I don't think we should have flags all around the ground, by the way. I mean, I think either end, it works really well. So do it at the other end as well and at the Stretford end. But I don't think we need it all the way around the ground. You know, it's not the old Wembley. I think there's things that we can do to make the atmosphere, but they're doing a great job. Fantastic. Okay, let's get into the news this morning. Simon Cox says the prawn sandwich brigade won't like it, Mark. We can shove it up their arse, you know, basically. you know, football for the fans. That's what we're all about, isn't it? Although if you do like a prawn sandwich, so do I. But, you know, give me a flag any day over a prawn sandwich. Right, let's get into the news this morning. I just do love Thursdays now. They're so, so good. But what about Jared Bowen to Manchester United? I mean, we're not linked to him, but apparently Tottenham are considering a move for Jared Bowen, 28 years of age. Well, don't they want Xerxes? I mean, Jared, we don't need Jared Bowen. I think Jared Bowen would be a good right wing back, you know. I think he's a hard-working... We don't need Jared Bowen. Shut up, Goldbridge. We don't need to talk about that. Okay, what we do need to talk about is... We're going to start off with Mainoo and Xerxes, actually. So Fabrizio Romano has given an update video last night around the situation with Mainoo. Man United are still very much holding ground that Xerxes and Mainoo will not be moving in January because Amrin wants them to stay. We're not in Europe, obviously. We're not in the Carabao Cup, obviously. But he feels that, you know, he needs a big squad around him. Is that fair? From Amrin's point of view, it's absolutely fair. Look, my career mode's back this afternoon. I don't mind having... Mason Mount, I think I've got rid of him. Agate isn't even on my bench. But I'm not selling him because... I loaned him to Newcastle. He scored a banger, didn't he? But my point is, I don't mind having people like Xerxes, even if he's not on my bench. As a manager, I'm like, well, at least he's there. So I can understand Amrin's point of view, but it's whether you can keep those players happy. So Fabrizio is basically saying that Man United and Ruben Amrin are not willing to let these players go in January as things stand at the moment. But it is still late October, 2 months away. But he does say that West Ham have contacted the club to inquire about the situation of Mainoo and Xerxes on loan, but United are not open to any negotiations at this moment in time. Also, interestingly, from Gazzetta dello Sport, they're saying that Napoli, Conte want Mainoo in January, and also that Roma are continuing their pursuit of Xerxes and want to add him on loan in January too. Roma currently sit joint top of Serie A and want to bolster their squad from a position of strength. The long-term futures of Evan Ferguson and Dobbik are also uncertain. So we won't have... I mean, this is a novel new world for Manchester United. We won't have this situation where we have players that we don't want and nobody else wants. Things are starting to change. Mainoo and Xerxes haven't played any football this season, and yet they're not short of suitors. And I think we talk about a lot of things that are changing at Manchester United, don't we? But I think one of the things that is really changing, and it's nothing to do with Amrin, it's I don't know who's to blame. I don't know who takes the credit for this, because it's not Ineos either. But if you look at the likes of Wan-Bissaka, and you look at the likes of Rashford, and you look at the likes of McTominay, and you look at the likes of Garnacho, we haven't had a shortage of suitors for those players over the last 2 years. Now, Amrin's not been here for 2 years, and Ineos haven't been here for 2 years, but we have traditionally really struggled to move players on. If you think about the likes of, you know, Van der Beek, etc. We know we've had problems with this. Rojo, over the years, we've really struggled to move players on. We're not having that at the moment. So Xerxes and Mainoo aren't playing football. If you're another club, you're not basing it on current form. You're basing it on, I think there's a player there. And that's a really good position for Manchester United to be in. And I just wanted to comment on that. But in relation to Napoli, I think they were very close to wanting Mainoo back in August, and he wanted them. Xerxes will not have a shortage of people wanting him in the Italian league as well. And obviously, I think in the Premier League, there might be some interest as well. So I think Amrin's in a good position here. I mean, my understanding is, from very, very good sources a few weeks ago, is that if Xerxes was removed from the squad in January, then Amrin would expect a replacement in January. And if Mainoo was removed from the squad in January, he would expect a significant replacement in January, which is part of the reason that Mainoo couldn't go in August. Essentially, Ruben Amrin said, I don't want Mainoo to go. Mainoo said, I want to go. And Amrin basically said to the board, if you let him go and you don't replace him, you're messing up this season for me. So you better get a replacement in, which is why we were moving for Conor Gallagher in the last week. The plan was not to get Conor Gallagher in and keep Mainoo. So this is maybe new news. I think it's not. I think we've mentioned it before, and I think other people have mentioned it before, but it's common sense news as well. We were moving for Baleba and Conor Gallagher in the last few weeks of the transfer window, and the plan was not to keep five midfielders. We would have moved somebody on. And ultimately, it may well have been Mainoo, which is weird because if we got Belaba, a lot of people were going Belaba and Mainoo, but I think there was a chance that Mainoo could have gone. But certainly in the last week, when we were going for Conor Gallagher, that would have been Mainoo going. So Amrim's in a strong position because there is this position at the moment where Man United and Ruben Amrim are not interested in letting Xerxes or Mainoo go. I'll tell you my opinion on that in the moment, and you can give me yours. But let's not forget that if one of those players go, another player comes in. So if Mainoo goes in January on loan, another midfielder comes in. If Xerxes goes in January on loan, another striker comes in. So I'm quite relaxed about that because we're sort of sat there as fans at the moment. And I've changed my tune. I'll put my hands up and say, look, at the moment, Amrim's being proved right. I'm not convinced, but he is right. And I'm more than happy to say he's right at the moment. Casemiro and Bruno are our best midfield too. I'm saying that as a fact, like they are. They're proven. We've won three games. They are our best midfield too. Ugarte and Mainoo cannot get into that team. Ugarte's not really been able to get in that team consistently since, you know, sort of February. And Mainoo's never been able to consistently get in that midfield. So his midfield too is Casemiro and Bruno. That's what it is. So I can't sit here and go, we've got to keep Ugarte. We've got to keep Mainoo. I want those two to be given a chance, but with every passing week, it becomes more and more clear that Amrim doesn't rate them. And as much as I want them to be part of our future, I'm already, if I'm being honest, starting to lean towards, well, what is the future then? If it's not Mainoo and Ugarte, what is it? Because at the moment, it can't be Bruno and Casemiro. I don't think Casemiro's here next season. And I'm not 100% convinced that Bruno is either. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, if it doesn't rate Mainoo and Ugarte, which he clearly doesn't, and Casemiro and Bruno aren't going to be here next year, then who is going to be our midfield of the future? So we always come back to the same thing. My opinion is there is people out there. Look, people might not like it. I'd say if you said to me a few weeks ago, I don't like it. But the cold, harsh fact is Mainoo wants to leave Man United on loan and play football. He's wanted to do that for the last 3 months. He's not playing football at Man United. And in 2 months, there's a January transfer window. I don't think he'll be knocking on the door. I think he'll be kicking it down, saying, this is not fair. I want to play for Man United. You won't let me. I want to play football. You won't let me. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And I empathize with Amrim going, well, if I get an injury, I need you. But I also sympathize with Mainoo, who, as we've mentioned multiple times before, was in a very strong position a couple of years ago, where he's playing for England, he's playing in our midfield, and now he can't play football at all. And I'd also be saying, if I was Mainoo to Amrim, I'd be saying, stop talking about the future. Stop talking about this scenario, that scenario. I've been playing for you for a year. You don't pick me. I'm not an idiot. Like, you don't pick me. Last season, we finished 15th with the worst midfield we've ever had. You didn't pick me. This season, you're doing well. You don't pick me. Stop talking about the future. I've played in the Euros. I've played for Man United in the midfield against decent teams when I was 18. Now I'm 20, you don't pick me. So stop like ruining my career, basically. You're not using me. Let me go and play elsewhere. I'll prove it. I don't want to leave. I'll go on loan. Let me go and play somewhere else. Let me prove what I can do between now and the end of the season and we can have another chat in the summer. And if you still don't want to use me, then I think you need to sell me. But if you see what I can do on loan, then let me come back in the summer. So I think that Mainoo's have got every right to ask that question. And I actually think this doesn't come down to Amrim and it doesn't come down to Mainoo. I think logically, what would I do? What would you do? What would you do with the Mainoo situation? In relation to what I've just said there, he's not being picked. He's not been picked for a whole year, really. He's still not being picked now. There's loads of clubs that want him. He wants to play in January. He's going to say, I want to go. And Amrim's going to say no. What do we do? Because in that situation, if I'm Amrim, I just say, wait a minute. I go into Berarda's office and I say, I actually agree with him. I actually do agree with him. In this four walls, I agree with him. I don't let him know. I don't actually rate him that much. I'm not going to play him that much. And he's just sat on his arse. But I can't let him go because if I get an injury to Casemiro and Bruno, I've only got Ugarte. So I can't let him go, but I won't use him that much. If we let him go and you bring me say, Conor Gallagher in, I will use Conor Gallagher more than I'll use Mainoo, and he will get minutes elsewhere. So can we sort this deal out? Because ultimately, that's what I'm going to say to him. I'm going to tell him the truth and say, you're not in my plans, but I haven't got enough midfielders to let you go. If the board give me another midfielder, I will let you go on loan. And that's what I would say. Because I genuinely don't think Amorim is going, you're not going anywhere. I think you're a brilliant bench player. I think he's going, you're not going anywhere. I haven't got a big enough squad to let you go. If they give me a replacement, you can go. And that's exactly what we were trying to do in the last week of the window with Conor Gallagher. So I think this is on the board. So for me, it's not a bad position to be in. If Mainoo stays, I'm not that bothered. If Mainoo goes and plays on loan somewhere and we get a replacement in, I think that's the best for everybody. But there are still 2 months left. Like, you know, I don't think it will happen. But what if he picks Bruno and Mainoo on Saturday against Forest? Suddenly things start to change. I mean, it's annoying with Mainoo because you're almost so close you can almost touch it. I mean, he is sort of, if I'm being honest, Ugarte is in a better position because Ugarte will play instead of Casemiro. Mainoo won't. But he is close, but he's not quite close enough. But I do agree with Missel. I personally think it's best for, and this is not a negative. I'm not saying sell him. I'm a massive fan of Mainoo like a lot of you are. But I just want to see him play week in, week out. I think he needs to play week in, week out. I don't think 10-minute cameos, because Bruno needs a rest, helps you. I mean, I dread to know what his minutes are in the Premier League this season. If somebody can tell me what Mainoo's, there you go, a bit of homework while we're live. Go and find out what Mainoo's minutes in the Premier League are this year, considering we've played 9 games. And 9 times 90 is 810 minutes. So how many minutes out of 810 has he actually played? And there, I think you'll find your answer in relation to Mainoo. In relation to Xerxes, it's the same. It's exactly the same. I think you've got Ruben Amorim saying, I'm not letting him go because if anything happens to Sesko and Mount, all I've got is Cunha and Mbeumo. I haven't got enough. Like, and this is very true. Mason Mount is like a guy jumping around on thin ice saying, it's not going to break. And you're going, any second now. Sesko, first season in the Premier League, I don't know. So if Sesko gets injured and Mount Willer get injured, then you're really just left with Cunha and Mbeumo. Of course, Ahmad can play there, Bruno can play there, but you're going to need Xerxes. So, but when everybody's fit, you don't need him. So you get a player knocking on the door again, and again, you're going to go to the board and you're going to say, I don't actually need him, but if this and this happens, which it probably will, I will. So if you give me a replacement that I'll use more than him anyway, then let him go. And I think, again, that's the scenario again. So I have to say, I sympathise with Xerxes and Mainoo's situation. It must be really frustrating. But I also sympathise with Amorim's situation, where he's protecting Manchester United Football Club, because if the injuries happen and the AFCON comes, he might need to give these players more minutes. But nobody can sit here and say that he values these players. I mean, obviously, he'll say it publicly, but nobody can say that he does, because he doesn't. He doesn't. That they are low-down players who help him out if things go wrong. They're not players that he's looking to utilise. I mean, Mason Mount was expected to be a bench player. Look at how many starts he's had. So I think that the obvious solution is to loan both and bring two players in on loan and reassess it in the summer, because I don't think it's fair for Xerxes and Mainoo to just sit on their arse all season. And there's a very big chance that that's going to happen. Let me just catch up on yours. Moonlight's as well said, Mark. Thank you. Well, it's Thursday. We're all being positive. Lucas says, I would definitely get Stiller and Anderson. They both bring quality. We're going to talk about that in a bit. 17% of available minutes, says Gaz D. He's had 138 minutes, says Ayush. So he's barely had a game and a half in 9 games in minutes. It's not very good enough. I would definitely, Lucas, we've done that. I'm not a fan of Xerxes, but I'm against selling anybody in January, says Savage. I don't think you need to sell in January. I think it's a stupid time to sell in January because neither of them have played any minutes. I don't think there'll be a big queue of people willing to give us a fair price in January, but there'll be a big queue of people willing to take him on loan, or both of them on loan. This cup of tea is just, it's revolutionary. When Mainoo comes in, the opposite team overrides Man United in the midfield, says Alan. Well, you'll note it's 138 minutes in the Premier League. Thank you to Sam and Sam Chibbers and Jacob, one of our members as well. So he's had 138 minutes in 810 possible minutes. which is crap for somebody like Mainu. So you can certainly understand it. But look, you'll notice in all of that, I've not spoken about his actual ability this season because I think it's irrelevant. The Abyss midfield is Bruno and Casemiro. Don't need to say anything more about how Ugarte and Mainu are playing. If Bruno and Casemiro are being picked ahead, look, I'll say it. Look, if I'm Ugarte and I'm Mainu and Bruno and Casemiro are being picked ahead of you, that says everything. Look in the mirror. And that, I'll leave it at that. I like Ugarte. I still hope he can come through. Mainu, I really like. He's only 20, but there is a line I have to use. You've got to look in the mirror, lads, because if Casemiro and Bruno are starting in a Man United midfield in 2025 over you, that's not just on a manager not liking the way that you play. I mean, Casemiro, quite rightly, has had quite a few critics over the last 18 months. And Bruno Fernandes isn't even a midfielder. And he has factually cost us at least 3 goals this season in midfield. So if that's, and they are our best midfield, like no joke, they're our best midfield too. I wouldn't even change them at the moment. They've proven that they're the best too. But the scary thing is, what does that say about Mainu and Ugarte? We don't need to talk about whether they're playing well. It's very, very clear that they're not playing well. But this is why I think a young player like Mainu needs a change of scenery. It is Manchester United's responsibility to develop young players with talent. Sometimes developing young players with talent is taking them out of a situation where they're just stagnating and, you know, sending them somewhere else. We did exactly the same thing with Ahmad. He was nowhere near the first team at 20 years of age. We put him out on loan to Sunderland and Rangers. Now he's one of our better players. So there is a responsibility to Mainu. I just don't think we can sit there and go, you're not going to get many minutes, but you're a squad player. He's 20. There is a development issue here as well that we have to resolve 100%. Let me just get into some of your comments as well. If Amrim says Mainu is not good enough, then he's not good enough for United as bookmaker. Well, it doesn't always work like that, does it? I mean, who were the managers who used to bench Herrera all the time for fucking Fellaini? You know, that was a mistake. We were saying the same thing about Garnacho and look how that turned out. Sell Mainu, says Kiel. Or two things are not the same. I don't think there's any indication that Mainu is anything like Garnacho in relation to position and how he conducts himself in and around the club. Christian says, with a win against Forest, I'm calling it. We are on a 10-game win streak. Mark my words, no pun intended, says Christian. I hope you're right, mate. Jacob says, it's more of a Bruno and Casemiro being veterans opposed to Mainu. Amrim needs Europe after this season, thus he doesn't give unproven Mainu a chance, says Jacob. Yeah, but that's very short-sighted as well. I mean, you know, there's plenty. I mean, literally some of the midfielders we want to sign are very close to Mainu's age. Wharton's 21, Anderson's 22, Belieber's 21 or 22. So I don't think we can go, oh, you're 20, so you're not good enough. He was holding the midfield at St. James's Park 2 years ago. He was playing in a Euros England team 18 months ago. So, you know, I don't think the experience thing comes. I don't think we can hide behind age, let's put it that way. Sell Xerxes and Mainu and bring Stiller in, plus two more, says Kiel. Mainu is the English Jemba Jemba, says M.A. Khan. Ridiculous. And Harley says, just finished last night's show. Do you think Stiller will carry his stats over to the Premier League? And do you think him and Conor Gallagher would work, says Harley. Hi, Mark. Hope you're doing well. Hope we will get Stiller in January, says Tony. I don't think Mainu suits Amrim's system either, says Royce. Mark, be honest, how much have you been enjoying Liverpool's results? I'm delirious with them. Mate, it can get even better this weekend. We'll go into it in more depth on the 8 o'clock preview show, but Liverpool have got Villa. I don't think they're going to beat Villa on Saturday night. We've got Forest on Saturday afternoon. I think we're going to beat Forest on Saturday afternoon. So that's another 3-point gap. Then they've got Man City next week. We've got Spurs. I mean, we could open up a gap on Liverpool. I think the next couple of weeks are so big for Manchester United. Chelsea got to go to Spurs as well on Saturday. It's a long time since we've acted like this as United fans, but I'm now looking at the league table. I mean, this is incredible. I can't remember the last time we did this. I'm actually looking at the league table for what it's meant to be. You're meant to look at your fixtures and other people's fixtures and go, this is a chance to open up a gap. I can't remember the last time we did this. I mean, I used to do it every week under Sir Alex, but I'm looking at Liverpool and Chelsea and Man City and Arsenal as top four. If Sunderland or Bournemouth get there or Spurs, well done, but I'm looking at them four. So this weekend, I'm thinking, can Chelsea and Liverpool drop points again and we beat Forest and we just start to open up that gap? It's exciting. I feel obliged to see a kitchen tour when it's complete. It's definitely going to happen, LB Clips. I'm going to use my camera that moves around with me and do a live stream. Mark, be honest, how much have you done it? I've been enjoying it, Mike. It was good, but I know someone who took a French Cantona flag and was told other country flags are not allowed in unless the country is playing. This is what you're up against in this country, though, Glenn. You're probably up against it in all around the world. Yeah, I mean, look, nobody's making it. Nobody should be at Old Trafford or any ground with political flags or flags for causes or anything like that. It's football. I personally don't believe we should do that. And there are some fantastic causes out there. But a French flag with Cantona on it, grow the fuck up. I mean, come on. You know, that's just ridiculous. Why would you not be able to do that? That's stupid. Absolutely stupid. You know, one of the most iconic players in our history. And I mean, I don't know whether that's true, but, you know. Just to go back to Harley Thomas's comments, I did want to talk about this just very, very quickly about the midfield, because I've still got some topical stuff I wanted to get into. But obviously a lot being discussed around Angelo Stiller at the moment, and the Wilcox thing is very, very good. But he does have a release clause. Now, Romano was talking about how he has... he would probably be available for about £50 million. The release clause he has at the moment is £35 million, and it runs till 2026. But Stuttgart can buy that release clause out for €2 million. And well, let me just read you this. It's quite interesting. So this was from March. So basically... This is where it gets interesting with Stiller, because a lot of you have said, why can't we go and buy Stiller for 35 million in January? It's an absolute no-brainer. And it is. But this is what Sky Germany said back in March. Sky Germany say that Stuttgart can buy out the release clause in his contract. He has a £34 million release clause until 2026. But at any time, Stuttgart can buy out the clause for a fee of €2 million. Stiller cannot reject this idea and will receive the money straight away. The buyout fee does not extend his contract, so his contract will still be valid until 2028. What this means is that if a club like Bayern Munich went to try and sign Stiller, then they will now have to negotiate a price for the midfielder. And due to how important Stiller is to Stuttgart, the fee will not be cheap. The buyout option is a turnaround to how Stuttgart have operated in recent years, as most of the time they've had to give players release clauses to stay, as they did with Guirassy. However, this is not the case for Stiller. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's quite an intelligent deal by Stuttgart, but effectively, you know, just a little bit of clarity. A few people last night were talking about how we should just offer £35 million for Stiller now and buy him. And we should. We absolutely should. And we could do that in January. We should do that deal now. We had £60 million in our pocket for Belaba. We should go and buy Stiller now. The problem is, if you offer £35 million for Stiller, then Stuttgart will find €2 million. They will give it to Stiller. And then they will go, that release clause is null now, and we want 55. So that's why it's not happening, basically. I mean, there could be a scenario where you offered them £35 million and Stuttgart say, OK, we're not going to pay Stiller €2 million. But I mean, they'd be stupid not to do that, wouldn't they? So that's why we are going to probably wait until the summer and negotiate. But I still think there's got to be a deal there with Stuttgart that you could do in January. As for whether I think he will transfer over, check out last night's show. I mean, I really enjoyed that. It's very rare that you can do that and it works. But we basically did about 10 minutes of Stiller's stats comparable to Anderson, Belaba, Bruno, Wharton. And what came out of it in 4K was that he is taller than all of them. He is defensively very good. And his creativity in passing is as good as Bruno and way better than the others. And his passing, i.e. how much he passes the ball, defeats even Bruno. He was like 70 passes a game with the highest pass completion rate and the highest forward passes. So I don't care whether he goes to the Saudi League or the La Liga. He's not going to lose the ability to pass the ball in the Premier League. So I just think he's the player to go for. It's an absolute open goal. And the midfield two I would go for is, based on what I've seen, I think Elliot Anderson and Stiller are the two. I don't know what you think. If I could pick any of the two players that we've been linked to, I would go Stiller and Anderson. I think it's the best balance. Stiller is a pass master and he's creative and he can tackle. Anderson tackles more than anybody, moves around more than anybody, and passes a lot as well. So I think Anderson and Stiller are the two. But Belaba would be a close second if he can get his form back. Wharton is good, but I don't really get what Wharton is. He's not a defensive monster, and he's not a pass monster, and he's not a creative either. He's almost like the all-rounder, whereas I think you could go for the creative player in Stiller and the, you know, intensity of a Belaba or an Anderson. So that's where I would go. I think Wharton's fantastic, but I don't see what he excels at. He's more of an all-rounder, and I think in a midfield too, it's a good idea to have a more tenacious player and a more creative player for the balance. So that's what I would do. That's what I would do, as I've said before. I've got a few. Some people say Jason Wilcox has done an interview. I don't know who it's with. I'll try and get some comments. If anyone can let me know, that'd be great, where he's done it. Someone will find out for me. Oh, I've just been told that Amrim's doing his press conference today. So we've got the press conference. This is how we move in the United Stands. So we've got Ben Jacobs at 2 o'clock tomorrow now, because Amrim is doing his press conference today. So welcome to the world of Manchester United. They move things. I mean, look, this is a football club that announces it's done a sale at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. They don't think about logic. So just a little quick change there. Ben Jacobs tomorrow at 2 o'clock now, which is a bit of a shame because we had some really good questions to put out to him. But we can do that tomorrow. And it will be Amrim press conference at 2:30, which works well for me, actually. It's nice to have his press conference before the preview. We're just about to get some of the Jason Wilcox stuff coming in as well, too. I'll tell you what. I did notice as well, you know, we were talking about Luke Shaw at the start of the week. Manchester United, I think, definitely keep their thermometer in the temperature of the fan base, because when we were talking about Luke Shaw last week, he's done really well. But I'm indifferent towards Luke Shaw now. He used to be one of my favourite players. He's still a decent player. But the England thing and the injuries, I'm just meh. You know, when it comes to Luke Shaw, I'm like, if he plays well, give him some credit, but I just don't really have much interest in Luke Shaw at all now. The last 2 days, I cannot believe the amount of positive PR that Man United are putting out. His shirt's everywhere. There's pictures of him everywhere. He's interacting with this everywhere. I just thought, I was just laughing. I was just like, is this a coincidence? You know, it's almost like they did nothing. Absolutely nothing. The media did nothing. Man United did nothing. No apology, no nothing. When he was injured for 5 months before the Euros, went to the Euros, got injured and was injured for 5 months after. We're all just after, you know, nothing. But if it's something positive, they can't help themselves. Everything. Oh, Luke. He played well at the weekend, but don't fucking ram it down our throat that he puts Man United before England, because he didn't. And if he wants to come out and do an interview with somebody and say, I got that wrong, it was a bad judgment call, well done. You'll be back into the fray. But he values England over Man United. That's the perception. So Man United, you know, bending over backwards to do positive PR for him. He values England over Man United. That's the issue. That's the bloody issue. Lemens is the gatekeeper we have needed. The safety he brings to the whole team is absolutely gravitational and sparks a boost of confidence. Christian, did you get that from AI? Did you type into AI? Can you write out a really catchy and viral, potentially making statement about Senny Lemens? I like it, though. Wharton is like Carrick on a good day, says Tillich. I don't think he is. I completely disagree with you there. That's my problem. Michael Carrick, I know exactly what he was. Massively underrated, holding midfielder, conducts the midfield from deep, passing range par excellence, short and long term, off both feet. Wharton does not do that. Wharton's more of a, I don't even know what Wharton is. He can pass, he can dribble, he can tackle. He's not really, really very creative. He's not really a pass master. He's not really a tackle master. He's more, he's almost like everything. He's a little bit of everything. He's a jack of all trades and a master of none. And that is really important in a certain system, probably a midfield three. In a midfield two, I don't know about Wharton. I don't know. But look, I do like him. There's no doubt he's one of the best midfielders in the Premier League at the moment. But I just feel that for balance, Stiller and Baleba or Stiller and Anderson is the way to go. Marlow FC says, I commend Amrin for sticking to his principles. He insisted that Bruno in the midfield would work as soon as the back line learned to push up and interchange. The plan is taking form. I like that, Marlow. And I, as I've said, I've already acknowledged that Bruno and Casemiro are our best midfield too. But just in case people think I'm flip-flopping, I absolutely do think that there will be games this season where we go, I told you Bruno can't play in the midfield. I told you Casemiro's legs are gone. Because I do. And I also think as well, if our defence and our attack has to compensate for Bruno's weaknesses as a midfield, imagine how good we'll be if we bring a midfielder that can play midfield and those defenders and the attackers are still doing that. And then you've got a midfielder, we'll be even better. That's why I said last night, at the moment, Bruno and Casemiro works and we found a way to make it work. The missing piece is to put a couple of midfielders in there that just are good midfielders anyway, and we'll go up another level, the missing piece. What do you think about Semenyu, says Khan. I'd be very, very surprised if Man United went anywhere near Semenyu. Be very, very expensive and doesn't really suit our system. But who knows? Problem is, whoever comes in can't demand minutes. Same situation. Gallagher might be better than Casemiro, but out of form right now, so be a bench warmer here, says Seth. No, I disagree. I disagree. I think that's too simplistic. I think what you're sort of doing is Bruno and Casemiro are Amrin's first choice, and Ugarte and Mainoo don't get a sniff. But Amrin's been here for a year nearly with those four players and obviously has a hierarchy. If Mainoo goes and Amrin says, I like Conor Gallagher, and Conor Gallagher comes in and trains well, I think Conor Gallagher might move Casemiro out of the team. Ugarte and Mainoo can't do it. They've been here for a year and they can't do it. If a new player comes in January, you might not rate them, but if Amrin does, he will give them more minutes. City and Liverpool collapsed when they lost Kevin De Bruyne and Trent. The same will happen if we try to replace Bruno. Creative world-class players are invaluable, says Kai. And that's why I think Stiller's perfect. Watch the show from last night. I'm not saying he's better than Bruno, but I think he's got better attributes as a midfielder and he's ultra creative. He plays more forward passes. He gets the same amount of assists and he's a proper midfielder. So, yeah, I think that we've got to look, the reality is it's not, you know, I know this for a fact that the Saudi project for Salah and Bruno is absolutely still on. They can't really do much about it in October. They probably can't do anything about it in January. But Bruno and Salah are still seen as the crown jewels to bring in to the Saudi League next summer or the summer after, but preferably next summer. They want them. They want them. Ronaldo is there. Have you seen that stadium that they're going to build? It's like something out of Harry Potter. It's this massive stadium on up a bloody... skyliner, skyscraper. So, you know, it's about 60 floors up and then the stadium's there. I mean, it's like something out of a film. It's incredible. And they're going to build that for the 2030? What World Cup have they got? 2034 or 2030? It must be 2034. So, I mean, their plans are, you know, very, very ambitious, and they will go back in for Bruno. So we've got to have a plan beyond it. I mean, it sort of goes back to Mainoo, doesn't it? Mainoo's going to want to go in January. That conversation's going to happen. If I'm Wilcox or Berada or Sir Jim, I'm working now. I know that conversation's going to happen. I know Mainoo's going to ask to go, and I know Amrim's not going to give him the minutes. So I'm sat there going, right, let Mainoo go, bring this player in. Would you be happy with that? And I'm working on it. I'm also working on, Bruno nearly went to Saudi in the summer. There's a very good chance he might want to go again. What am I doing as a replacement? That's why Wilcox is linked to Stiller, because we're looking at these situations quite rightly. Man United have always been too busy putting out fires to future plan. The minute we start future planning, the better will come. I remember one of the best bits of future planning we ever did, and it just went wrong. We'd been negotiating with Griezmann from about this time for a summer transfer. And he walked up the garden gate. He came to the front door. He knocked on the door. He was just about to step in and went, actually, Atletico Madrid have got a transfer ban. I'm not going to go. We'd been working on that Griezmann deal since the previous autumn. It was, you know, it was a brilliant deal. It was well prepared, and we'd done all the work. And it was just unfortunate why it didn't happen. And we need to be doing that now with deals for January and for the summer. It's very obvious. What's Amrim's fascination with Bruno? Well, it's my fascination with Bruno. It's probably your fascination with Bruno as well. He's our best player. You could add in he's our best and worst player. There's a conversation to say that. The indiscipline at times can be problematic, but he is our best player. Who needs replacing at some point in the next 18 months? So that's... wow, are you questioning my intelligence, Christian? Thank you very much. Okay, this was something I did want to bring in, something a little bit niche, but let me get it for you, because I did like this. So, Romano on Lewandowski. I'm not aware of any negotiations or talks between Man United and Lewandowski at the moment. I think that'll be a load of crap, but this was interesting. So this is it. This is coming in from Opta. Who power a lot of stats around the Premier League. Tell me what your thoughts are on this. Brian Mbeumo has made 141 off-ball runs in behind the defence in the Premier League this season. That's 19 more than any other player. So if we've had 9 games into 141, what's that? 16, something like that. So... he's done it 19 more times than any other player. He's the number one player in the Premier League at the moment for running, making runs in behind the defence. And that is why we are number one in the league for long balls. And that is why he is doing that. We are looking for that ball all the time in behind. It's going to be very interesting the next couple of games playing against low blocks, isn't it? This is why I'm really excited about these two games, because when you're playing against Brighton and you're playing against Liverpool away, that is going to be a possibility. But I think against Forest and against Spurs, it's going to be very interesting how we do that. But look, it's that transitional ball. This is why Bruno is so important in the midfield, because we're looking for that Bruno. If I said to you over the last 5 years, what does Bruno Fernandes like to do apart from scoring or creating a goal? He loves to hit a long ball. I've never seen a player. He loves that Hollywood pass. He wants to hit the ball in behind all the time. He loves it. And that's why Mbeumo's doing that. And that is, whether you like it or not, getting the best out of what you've got. You know, if you've got a player that loves to do something and he's one of your best players, then you try and cater for that. And Hollywood ball. Personally, I think Cunha wants the ball into feet. And I think it's a detriment to Cunha to hit a long ball, but Mbeumo likes to run in behind. So as long as we're mixing it up, but we're doing a lot of it. We are doing a lot of it. And it's working out as well. Cunha is a beast to track back and win second balls. He does it better than Bruno, says Krishna. I just want us to create from possession, to spread the red. And Mbeumo, the best signing this club has made since Bruno, says Jack. I think he's to say that. I think it's way too soon to say that. What's going on here? Oh, I haven't even got a phone. My phone's not even ringing. Weird. Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. My phone wasn't even ringing. Oh, it was. Let's have a look. Oh, I know what it is. Okay, that's fine. I was about to finish anyway. Okay, it was a bit weird. The phone was ringing because I'm waiting for a delivery, but it didn't show up on the thing. Okay, well, anyway, look, thanks everyone for watching this morning. Really enjoyed it. Over 9,000 watching. Thursday's becoming a big day on the United Stand. It's the start of the weekend. As I said, we've got, what have we got? We've had to make a late change because Amarim is doing his press conference at 1:30. So we'll be reacting to his press conference at 1:30. We've moved Ben Jacobs to 2:00 tomorrow, which is one of my favorite shows of the week, but so is the press conference. So we've got the press conference now at 1:30. We'll be live for that. My 8:00 preview live stays at 8:00, one of my favorite shows of the week. Also, check out That's Football. That's going to be live at 1:00 today. All the goals from the weekend. Check out Stuttgart and Stiller watch. And we've got Dortmund tomorrow night live as well. So looking forward to that. Great show this morning. Brilliant shows this week. It just shows you that positivity, a lot of people talk about negativity. They don't watch the United Stand, do they? And also, positivity sells as well. You know, the views, the interaction has been massive this week. We're on a great run. Long may it continue. I can't wait to do the preview and see what Amarim's got to say this afternoon. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Enjoy what you're doing, but stay safe. And I'll speak to you in a bit. Take care.